You're listening to audio from Redeemer Anglican Church in the urban heart of Richmond, Virginia. We are a parish committed to gospel formation for missional presence through seven essential practices: telling the biblical story, embracing a new identity in Jesus, finding belonging in the church community, cultivating virtue through redemptive habits, understanding our context in this current cultural moment, laboring in renewed vocations for the common good, and reordering our imaginations through beauty in the arts. To learn more about our church, visit RedeemerRVA.org.
Today we will be reading from the book of Psalms. We'll be in chapter 18, looking at verse 6. That will be found on page 454 in the Bibles found in the pew. If you do not have a Bible, please take one as our gift to you. Hear now the word of the Lord. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now, friends, let's stand together for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. You can find that on page 811. Dear friends, the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Amen. Let's be seated.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you. If you don't know me, my name is Lewis Lovett, and I am a part of the Resurrection Church Plant, which is launching next week. And amen. Praise the Lord. So if you know me, this is kind of a weird Sunday. And if you don't know me, this is kind of a weird Sunday for you. And I get that. We're really excited for what God is doing through Resurrection. We're sort of doing two things right now. We are finishing up the sermon series on virtue, one of the seven core practices of Redeemer. I'm gonna say Redeemer instead of Resurrection a few times. I'm gonna have to say good afternoon a few times. Bear with me, okay? We're finishing up this Redeemer series on our practice of virtue, which asks the question, how do we change? And we're gonna do that by looking at prayer, and in particular, the Lord's Prayer. Now, covering the entire Lord's Prayer in one sermon is a pretty ridiculous thing to do. Someone really needs to write a book about that. Did you see what I did there? It's funny because you did. Okay. We're gonna do our best. We're gonna do our best. There are resources available if you'd like to go deeper. Okay. The other thing that's special about today is that this is Commissioning Sunday for Resurrection Anglican. So at the end of the service, my family's gonna come up front, and the team for Resurrection is gonna come up front, and you're gonna get to see us, and we're gonna get to see you, and you're gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna walk out those doors, and we're gonna begin a new work of God. And so I just wanna I just kind of want to name the gravity of this moment. This something that's been a part of Redeemer and it's been a part of the fruit of this church is going to be cut off and removed and planted elsewhere. And we hope and pray and expect that because of that, it will bear more fruit. But today there's a cutting and a severing that we're gonna feel the weight of as you watch this happen. So I just wanna name that. It's a good thing, it's a beautiful thing, it's a heartbreaking thing, it's a painful thing, it's a gain, it's a loss, it's both those. So I'm gonna try to, without getting too nostalgic and too personal, engage that as we go along in a few little ways. So I want you to know that we love you. I just wanna say that. We love you. It's like in the Oscars, like don't forget to thank your family. Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna pray, recenter, and we'll jump in, okay? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we love you. And we pray that you would be with us right now and that your Holy Spirit would be at work in and through your words so we might know you and love you more and love our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as we look at the Lord's Prayer, this is coming from the Sermon on the Mount. This is the most famous group of things ever said in the history of the world, where Jesus gives this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And I wanna look at two things to consider this morning. First is the starting point of prayer, and second is the power of prayer. Just two things, the starting point and the power, okay? So first, the starting point of prayer. Where does prayer begin? Where are we as we start to pray? Is it hope? Is it faith? Is it proper understanding? Is it correct verbiage? What is the starting point? This is gonna sound strange, but I want you to try to imagine with me what it would be like to explain snorkeling to aliens from another planet. Are you with me? How would you explain snorkeling to aliens from another planet? We'd say, well, snorkeling is where you use a snorkel. It's a hose that you breathe through and you attach it to a mask which protects your eyes. And you, when you're snorkeling, you can explore coral reefs and there's these rock formations, but they're kind of alive and they're filled with colors. And there's fish, all the fish, there's fish everywhere and there's all different colors of fish and all different kinds of fish. If you're lucky, you see these really big fish called sharks, but if they're too big, it's scary. That's not fun anymore. You're explaining snorkeling to the aliens, right? Now, what have we forgotten to describe? We've forgotten to describe that snorkeling takes place in the ocean. That it is a thing that happens in water, that the starting point, the pre-existing condition for snorkeling is water. That's what makes snorkeling possible. That's this thing in which there is life that's different from the life that is our normal life on land where we live and breathe. And you can actually navigate through this water with your body. That's called swimming. And it feels really good. It's like you're floating. You can go on top of the water. You can even go under the water by managing your buoyancy. Like there's all these things that you have to begin with before you get to the pretty fish, right? And when we describe prayer, often we begin with something like, well, prayer is talking to God, which of course it is. Or prayer is the action of opening yourself up to God, which of course it is. But we forget about the starting point, the pre-existing conditions, the water in which prayer happens, okay? And so this is what we see as Jesus sets up the Lord's Prayer. This is what he says in verse 6. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Then he goes on to say, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father sees and your Father knows. That's the starting point of prayer. Those are the pre-existing conditions of prayer. The water that you swim in as you approach praying to God is he sees and he knows. And we often think about time in prayer as trying to connect with God. That's kind of how I think about it. I want to connect with God. And I want to say I'm all about connecting with God, but the problem with thinking about prayer like that as the starting point is that it means that your efforts, your attention, your purity of mind, those are the things which upon which the connection to God depends. But that is not the case. That is not the starting point of prayer. The connection to God already exists. When you pick up the phone to dial, he's already on the line. He is there. He sees you and he knows you. He sees the depths of your heart. He sees your longings. He sees your hopes. He sees the things that you love and enjoy. He sees the things that make you insecure, that you're afraid of, that you're ashamed of. He sees it all. He's already seen it. When you say, "Dear Lord," he doesn't start to see you then. He already sees you. And Jesus says he knows what you need before you ask him. This is insane. He knows what you're gonna say. That means that God is never shocked or disappointed by what you say. He's never impressed by what you say. He just already knows you. And he sees you and knows you, not just generally, but as your father. Not only does the Lord's Prayer start with "our Father," we'll get to that in a second, but three different times in this little intro, Jesus says, "your father, your father, your father." Like, are you paying attention? You have a father who sees you and who knows you, who's full of compassion, who's full of mercy, who desires flourishing and goodness, fruitfulness in your life, who desires for you to experience more of the intimacy with him that is already true of you, even when you don't remember it or realize it. So your father sees you and knows you. And if you're like me, this sort of begs the significant question, right? If God already sees me and God already knows me, then why do I have to tell him stuff? Like, what's the point of that? And I think it's really an important question. So hear this. The power of prayer is not that it gets God to see you and know you. That's not what prayer does. That already happened. That's the starting point. Those are the waters that we're already swimming in, okay? So what does it have the power to do? And there's two big things that come to me from this passage. More could be said, I'm sure. Prayer has the power for transformation, and prayer has the power for communion. Has the power for transformation and for communion. And I just want a little caveat here. I'm not talking about the power of prayer like out there in the world, like it as a force for change in the world. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm just talking about you and me. What does it have the power to do in us? Okay? I don't want to sound too self-involved. That's where we're starting today. So we'll start with transformation. Prayer has the power to transform you. It has the power to mold and to shape your heart, your imagination, the things that you love, and the actions that you do in the world. It has the power to transform those things. And in the case of the Lord's Prayer, it even has the power to transform your prayers, right? This is how our pastor says it really, really simply and clearly in this book. It says, as you pray the words, you're reminded that this is what you believe, and so you believe a little deeper. And as you believe a little deeper, your actions begin to align just a bit more closely with your beliefs. When I think about that, I'm almost a little disappointed. I'm like, well, that's pretty simple. There's not something magical happening, not something supernatural happening. Of course, this is very supernatural. Because everything about your own heart and the world around you is pushing you in the opposite direction towards a deeper belief, deeper connection with God, deeper transformation of life, according to his love and his ways. But I think it's helpful to talk through this practically rather than to just explain it. So I'll say more about this in a moment. But I don't think that the Lord's Prayer is given to us as a template for prayer. I don't think that primarily this is an outline for you to follow. I think that the Lord's Prayer is an actual prayer. And by that I mean, I think that this is a prayer that the Lord Jesus himself prayed to his Father like on the regular. And one of the ways that we see this shaping Jesus is that, you know, we've got one more week and then it's Palm Sunday and then we turn towards Holy Week. And if you're new to Anglicanism or you're new to traditions of the church that do this, this is a week where we step into the story of the Passion of Jesus. We step in Palm Sunday, Jesus coming in on the donkey and being hailed as king. And then the story changes very quick. We see Jesus celebrating the Last Supper, breaking bread and pouring wine with his disciples saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." We see Jesus betrayed and arrested and tortured. We see Jesus crucified on the cross. We see Jesus raised again on Easter. And one of the moments of this is when Jesus, this is the night he's betrayed, Jesus is in the garden. And he is praying to his Father. And he knows that suffering and death are coming his way. And he says, "Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Can we connect the dots here? Jesus has been praying, "Thy will be done," on the regular. And so that when he gets to the most desperate point in his life, What comes to his lips? Thy will. It has reinforced his trust that God's will and God's ways are good. They are the best. They are the most righteous, even though they're uncomfortable, even though they're costly, because he's been praying it over and over again. And we're not Jesus, right? But the same thing can happen with us. And I can tell you that in December of 2020, my life, my family's life, my professional life was at a crossroads. And I didn't know what was coming next, but I knew that things were gonna be changing. And I started praying thy will be done prayers. I started trying to insert it at the end of my prayers where I was asking God to show me what to do, to give me the desires of my heart. I started praying thy will be done. And over the next 3-4 years, in the journey that God has led me on, my family on, there was a lot of twists and turns. There was a lot of bumps. There was a lot of beautiful blessings. There was a lot of painful losses. And next week, a new church is starting. How is that? How do you explain that? People have been asking me the question, are you ready? Are you ready for next week? The answer is sort of yes and no. Like, we're very prepared. Like, our team has been preparing for months and months. And yet, like, we're woefully inadequate to be the thing upon which Christ is gonna, like, defeat the gates of hell. We're not ready. But I don't think it's the right question. I don't think the right question is, are you ready? I think the question has been, what has God been doing, and what has it been like to walk with him as his ways become manifest in the world? I'm just 100% sure that it is God's will for us to plant this church. Like, 100%. And I'm not always 100%. I was 100% when I wrote it, that one moment. Sometimes I'm like 2%. My faith is shaky, right? But I keep coming back to this prayer, and it holds me up when I get shaky. It reminds me what it reminded Jesus, that God's ways are good. God's ways are the best. And that the cost of following God's ways are worth it, even though it can be very costly. That will be done. So the power of prayer is to transform you, to transform your hopes and your hearts and even your lives. But the power of prayer is also for communion. And I want to finish by trying to wrap our minds around what is happening when we say the Lord's Prayer. And I say this acknowledging that if you've been coming to Redeemer, then we say this every week. Some of you may have been saying this prayer every week for years and years. Some of you may say this prayer every day. Some of you may not pray this very often. But I want to try to take a second and think about what it means that Jesus shares his prayer to his Father with us and says he's our Father. Jesus shares his prayer to his Father with us and says he's our Father. N.T. Wright, who's a great Anglican theologian, says it like this. He says, when you take these words on your lips, you are standing on hallowed ground. Jesus was giving them part of his own breath, his own life, his own prayer. The Lord's prayer are Jesus's very words, Jesus's very breath, Jesus's very heart towards God. I want you to take a second and turn to the front of your bulletin. There's an image here by a Polish artist named Sylwia Perczek. And it's titled Lord Save Me. This is actually a depiction of the story of Jesus walking on the water from Matthew 14. If you know the story, or if you're unfamiliar, Jesus is walking on the water towards the disciples who are in the boat. They see him. Peter, one of the disciples, says, Jesus, if it's really you, call me to come out to you on the water. And Jesus calls him out, and he gets out of the boat, and he's walking on the water himself. And all of a sudden, he starts to fall. He starts to sink. He gets distracted. He gets afraid. And he calls out to Jesus to save him, and Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls him up. And I thought of this image for this week because when I think about what's happening when we pray the Lord's Prayer, is that Jesus is pulling us up into something. He's pulling us up into his prayer. He's pulling us up into his relationship with the Father. He's saying, I, the Son of God, have this relationship with the Father, and he is my Father, but I want you to come and make him your Father too. I want to include you in that divine intimacy. One of the words you hear in church, and maybe especially in an Anglican church, is the word sacrament. We'll talk about the sacrament of the Lord's table, communion, or the Eucharist. We talk about the sacrament of baptism. A sacrament is something given to the church by Jesus where we experience him in a real way through real stuff. That's basically what it means. We experience Jesus in a real way through real stuff. It's when the line between heaven and earth gets blurry and fades out. So when we take this bread and this wine, we are really taking Jesus. He is giving himself to be taken into us. And in that sense, the Lord's Prayer is sacramental. Through these real words, we get drawn into the presence of God in a real way. You're sharing in Jesus' relationship with the Father. Now, I understand that you may not like think about that every time you say the Lord's Prayer. And I really understand that even if you are thinking about it and you're like waiting for your body to start glowing, it's not gonna happen. But it's happening. Because it's Jesus' prayer. And he gives it to you so that his Father can be your Father. So how do we change? That's our question as we finish this series on virtue. How do we use the Lord's Prayer to help us change? How might God use it to help us change? I just have two commendations for you by means of application. And that's to pray the Lord's Prayer often and to pray the Lord's Prayer slowly. That's it. That's easy. It's pretty short. It's doable. Make yourself so familiar with these words that these hopes and these prayers become instinctual to you. Just get really, really familiar with it. One of the critiques of liturgy, we do liturgy here in this church, Resurrection, we do liturgy. Liturgy is just saying the same things together in worship. It's the thing that helps you worship together. One of the critiques is that when you say the same thing over and over again, it becomes meaningless. I don't buy it. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. And I pray the Lord would protect us from that. Instead, our hope and our prayer is that we would get so familiar with these words that they would sink down into our hearts and into every little blood vessel and capillary and cell in our bodies. So that every time you hear the word Father, you think our Father in heaven. So that every time you have a decision to make, you think, thy will be done. So that every time you get stressed about your money, you think, Jesus, give me my daily bread today. Just get really familiar with it. I think if you pray, this is one of those things where if you pray the Lord's Prayer today, and that's all you do, it's not gonna change your life. If you prayed it every day for the next 20 years, I think it's gonna change your whole life. I really do. The second thing is to pray it slowly. Say it one line at a time and then just sit and reflect and pray freely. This is one of the things that's gonna actually help it from becoming meaningless. So pray, our Father in heaven. Our Father? Me and who else, Lord? Me and you? Me and everyone else? Wow. Just pray it often and pray it slowly. Jesus invites you to make his Father your Father, our Father. And I'll just end on this note of hope. When I think about resurrection and when I think about our church leaving to become a new church and us traveling on separate ways, that every single week you're gonna be in this room and you're gonna be praying our Father. And every single week we're gonna be in our room and we're gonna be praying our Father. He's ours together. Praise God. Let me pray. Our Father, we love you. Jesus, what a gift that you give us this prayer, that you give us your prayer. I really do pray that it would change us. And I really do pray that through it we might know more and more the intimacy with the Father that you have. I pray that you would give us glimpses as we pray even today. And as we hear each other's voices saying these words, our Father. Father, we praise you for your great love for us, that you see us and you know us and you've given everything to redeem us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To connect with our team or to learn more about our church, visit RedeemerRVA.org. We look forward to knowing you. Go in peace.